That was one of the songs that we came to know the very year that Susan and I decided to go to the mission field, and we had a tape with that on, and we played it in different churches and things, and she even got up and sang it with, I believe, Joey and Linda, and it's been a real blessing. How can we say no? The world is dying and lost in sin, and we have a message, and we are debtors to those that have not heard, because we didn't deserve to hear it. But we did hear the word. We were saved, and now we must go. How can we say no? First of all, I'd like to thank those that have been so faithful in supporting and helping us through these years. We've completed over 11 years now as missionaries sent out of this church, and that's I don't know, it may speak bad of you folks sending out people like us. We don't fit into the norm of Christianity. There isn't a mission board in the world that would send out people like us that barely finished high school, but there's a different goal and a different vision here. It's not to fulfill the requirements of religion. It's to see men and women saved and brought to the Lord. There's a few new faces here. I went down to be a helper to missionaries, and the Lord saw fit that I learned a little Spanish and I started to preach a memorized sermon. I'm sure Joey and Bill and Brent got sick of it. I did. Preached it twice a day for several months, and we went from street to street, so that people didn't know what was going on, because they didn't understand anyway. One time I was giving my little memorized speech, and some little boy come up and tugged on Bill's shirt and says, "Why does he preach in English?" And Bill said, "He thinks he's preaching in Spanish." But by the grace of God, and a lot of it, we've seen some people get saved. As we're in San Luis Potosí, my son and I are trying to do a public work, something that's not hidden in the corner. We do like the other missionaries, like we've been given the example in the New Testament. We're given the example by Bill and Joe and Brent, and we started preaching in the streets there, and we meet in the open air. I would rent a building if only if the brothers twisted my arm would I go meet with them. I like it outside where they can see what we're doing. We talked about turning Mexico upside down. Well, there's a few cities in Mexico that have been turned upside down.
Amen.
You go to Aguascalientes, they're passing laws trying to somehow inhibit the preaching. They couldn't stop them from actually preaching. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they passed an ordinance that they couldn't sit on the steps where they preached to listen. They had to stand up. Just something to molest the preaching. Praise the Lord. The word has a powerful effect, and the truth is going to turn things upside down. And I praise the Lord to be a part of that. I have a message that's been on my heart for some time. And I appreciate this church. This church has been a fortress in a refuge for me. But sometimes I think we lose sight of where we're going and what we're doing. We talked this morning about we just kind of hit against something. It just, we're not going over the edge. And I'm a realist. Some people want to call me a pessimist, but I sit back and I analyze the situation. I spent a lot of time doing that in this little church that we've tried to start in San Luis Potosí. And it goes up and it goes up and go down. And what is the cause behind it? What's happening? What's taking place? And I was raised up in a religious system, and the religious system, when it hits this stop, it just throws out everything, including principles, including doctrine and changes. And what matters is numbers. What matters is offerings. What matters is these things and really what matters is the principles that God's laid before us and the doctrines, and that we stay faithful to them. Just to give you a little background, this morning we talked about putting your burdens at the feet of Jesus, not carry the burdens that we're not meant to carry. Like Brother Dale said, the things that you can change, get in there and change them. Things that you've been given to do, get at and do them. But when it comes to something you can't change, then lay them at the feet of Jesus. And why is it that so many men of God are suddenly put by the wayside? Why are so many men that were once in the front of the battle and carrying the load suddenly washed out? Suddenly you find them selling used cars down on Broadway. You find these men of God that are washed up in sin and their lives are destroyed.
Right.
They're carrying a burden they weren't supposed to carry. They were doing it all. And there's something that I've always heard since I first came here, and I learned it here in this place, that within the local church, God provide all that it needs. Out of the local church. And I began to go through some scriptures, and I'd like to show them to you. And that's not just a nice cliche, and that's not just Lindell's idea. That's the Word of God. God has given Himself for the church. He didn't die to save a soul. That isn't the purpose. That was a stepping stone. He didn't tell us that we all should do the work of evangelists just to save souls. There's an end. It's a step to come to what He died for. And it says in Ephesians 5:25 that He gave Himself for the church.
Amen.
He's building a body of these ones that He saved. He shed His blood to unite those that believe and form a church, form a body. The system takes over and makes an organization and kills the organism. The church is a functioning organism. And it has functions that each and every one of us are to take part in. What happens is, it doesn't work. The organism is sick. And so they throw programs in. We don't have enough in attendance because we don't have, and then we don't get enough offerings. We can't pay for the stained glass windows and et cetera, et cetera. So we start a volleyball team, a basketball team, a baseball team, and we draw people in through our gimmicks. We get rid of this hard preacher that we got and bring in somebody a little softer, does a little sweeter. We get more charisma and we're nothing more than a social club. We're not an organism functioning as God is designed. And I watched our little group down there. And our little group, when they're working as an organism, they're alive, they're giving, they're preaching and evangelizing. But when they stop functioning as they should, when the spiritual work quits, then the others quit. And you cannot produce spiritual life with physical gimmicks.
That's right. Amen.
You have to have the spiritual life, and the other things that you try to obtain, like numbers here, that comes with it. That is the benefit. And they think if we get numbers, then we'll have spiritual life. We turn these things around.
Right.
And I was mentioning about these brothers that get washed away. Some sisters carrying a load, they get washed out. You have women that work and work in the church. You always find them in the kitchen, and one day they just say, "I've had it," and they're gone. Why? Look, the burden of the workings of the church wasn't meant for one man to carry. It's a church functioning together. What happens in religion? The members find it more difficult to prepare something, to bring and give a message, so they just bring and give an offering and hire somebody with a gift of gab, somebody that can entertain them. Or maybe they're just really spiritual and they find somebody that really gives them good messages, sound messages, but it's not the complete and it's not the proper work of God.
Amen.
I'm talking about the open meeting. I'm talking about each and every one who has been born again, whether he's 4 years old or 100 years old, has the responsibility of spiritual edification. What happens? We get snowballed into thinking that because I cleaned the church, because I prepared the meals, and don't get me wrong, it's all necessary. I enjoy the good meals and every afternoon, and I look forward to the rest of them. But if you're lost, ladies, if you're lost, brothers, in the physical work in this, and you sidestep your first obligation, it's not an option. It's a responsibility, an obligation to edify the brethren of the church.
Amen.
When that little group we have in Mexico, and I'm so proud of those guys, they're 14, 15 years old. They come prepared to edify the church. And they give something that's real to them, something that's living, and they keep it short so that everybody gets a chance. And the nights that we have 20, 25 different testimonies is when we go home the most blessed and the most edified. When one guy gets up, I won't point any fingers, Michael, and takes the whole meeting, and he gives a good message. But it's not the same. It is not the same. It's one member carrying the load. It's one member doing it all spiritually. And that's why these men get washed out. These men that they call to be the preacher. He's the preacher and he's the pastor. He goes out and visits everybody. He does everything and he's washed out. God didn't intend for that man to carry that load. The burden you carry, brother, it should be upon everybody. Or a body, and we should carry it together. Look, if you would, in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 13, start with verse 19. 1 Samuel 13, 19. We'll begin reading there. And there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen in every man his share, his coulter, his axe, his mattocks, and they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the gourds. So it came to pass in the day of the battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, there were found, and the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Here it talks about the smiths. The smiths were the lowly occupation. If you've ever done any forging, I did. We did a lot of things like that on the farm. It's a dirty, hot, miserable job, and your kings don't go down to do that. Your educated people don't do that. That's why I got to do it. I got to be there next to this hot forge and then pick out this red hot metal, almost white hot, and pound on it and make it, form it, and do what we wanted to do. The blacksmith's job was a lowly job. But without that job in the camp and being done, there was no weapons. And here you got an army that goes out to battle with forks, without weapons.
Right.
Because they didn't have the participation of just all these things he has. But the people can't wage war. You remember another instance when an army sent out one man to do a job? Sent him out in his own strength, defied the people of God. His name was Goliath. Nearly 9 feet tall. He had the biggest spear in the world. And God, and he said, turn to it in 17. 1 Samuel 17. Look what it says. 17 verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. A real man went out from the Philistines. And it says in verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? He made a drastic mistake. He was really ready to fight a servant of Saul. Who met him on that field? Servant of God.
Amen.
Came in the name of the Lord, not in the name of Saul.
Amen.
He came not with the battle instruments of man, but they sent one man out and placed their entire victory in that man. They sent out Goliath to fight for us. Saul was wise. We think he was dumb. He wasn't going to go out there and fight in his own power, in his own name. He was scared to death. But a man, what God picked out of the people of Israel, a little boy that would go in his name and fight. We get to think that the only way we can fight the battle is we get Brother Lindell, we get these other men that are men in the Lord to stand and fight our battles. We as a church united is the strength of God, not the one man. He'll be felled. But the church together has the strength of God and the wisdom of God. Look if you would in Ephesians 4:16. With that kind of as to set your mindset on what I want to show you tonight. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth. Where does the supply come from? Every joint does its supplying. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part.
Amen.
It's the effectual working of God in the children that are born again. It's the effectual working of God in the teenagers and the adults that we have the supply of strength to fight the battles that the Lord puts us in. And we think we're going to bystep God's wisdom and say, no, we're going to hire us a man to do it. No, we've got 3 or 4 that every open meeting, they're going to bring us our messages and we're going to be fed and strengthened. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
The strength comes from the little brothers and sisters standing up and sharing what God's given them. Says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into edifying of itself in love. Of itself. You're looking to be edified by a man? By a certain elite group? You're missing the way that God promised to edify you. And I was tempted. Our meetings got low there in San Luis Potosí. Some of the brothers weren't there. And it's kind of that way now. I'm a little concerned about it. I'm praying that the Lord I preached something similar to this the other day when I was there, trying to show them that it's in the body that the strength comes. It's the promise of being edified is that it comes from with the body itself. And I forgot where I was. But the increase comes from within. Christ gives a portion to each and every one of us. And Thursday night, I hope to have a little fun with it. I'm going to bring part of my carpenter shop and let you show what the tools have to speak to you. But everybody's got a different function. And don't get sidetracked to think, well, I'm a carpenter, and so when they're ready to drive a nail, I'll come drive the nail. Or I'm a plumber, I can fix when... No, we need to think about the spiritual things. All this other sideline. Be best to meet out in the park. Be best. We got it made in San Luis. We got the city paying the light bill. We got the city sending around the cleanup crew that literally washes down the benches and everything, cleans it all up for us. They come around about once a month with a high pressure washer and brooms and clean it all up for us. They mow the grass. We got the police come by once every Sunday morning and run off the drunks for us. Because they started bothering us, so we called the police one time. So they show up every morning, you know, about 10:15, check out the park, make sure we're not bothered, and then they go on their way. We got it made. Don't think that your ministry is physical. That is the least importance. It doesn't matter if we're in a dirty building. If we're edifying God's people spiritually, we're going to be blessed spiritually. One of the problems that I find that was always my great problem is that I neglected the gift that was in me, and I didn't appreciate the gift that God had given me. Some of you guys have been around here a while know that every time I got up to speak in the first few years, I was always apologizing for what I was about to say, what I had to say. That's a complete lack of faith in the Lord.
Amen.
That is menospreciando. That's putting down the gift that God has given me. He's given each and one of you a gift, and you say, but I can't preach like Steve. I mean, each and every one of us that have received the eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ has something to give.
Amen.
And as long as you hold that and don't spread it and water the brothers and sisters to edification, it will stagnate. I know people that their only thing they can say, well, I was saved 25 years ago. That's their testimony. They haven't really given that up and went on to be filled with other spiritual blessings so that they can give that to the church. I find myself receiving a blessing, receiving a word from the Lord, and I say, boy, I could use that in the preaching, and I don't give it. There it is, Wednesday night, and I have this, and I say, no, I'm preaching a week from Sunday, so I'm going to save this, and I don't say nothing in that meeting, and I hold that blessing, and a week from Sunday, I have forgot what that was.
Amen.
If you want to give a blessing tomorrow, you need to give the one that you got today. And then when you give that blessing, and you become faithful to using the blessing, God will change this little cup that you got, this little tiny bit you have, you got a teaspoon you think you're giving. God will change it for a cup, and then He'll change it for a pitcher, and you'll be driving in here with a water truck one day.
Amen.
Blessing the people of God because you were faithful with the little that He's given you. And you won't have those few that falling on the wayside because they're carrying this huge, heavy burden. Carrying the load because so many of us are unwilling to. We neglect the gift that God's given us. 1 Timothy 4:12 speaks of that. Sure, most of you know these verses by memory more than I. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, whether it's youth in age, or youth in the years that you've been saved, youth in your experience. Maybe you've been saved like I was for 30 years before I ever understood really what salvation was and what Jesus Christ did for me. I was young in experience of the spiritual things. But even that, I should have been at that moment, and it's been just a few years that I've started using the gift that God gave me. He gave me eternal life, and I use that gift to bless others. And then He gives me other gifts that I've been blessed with. And you can do that, and some of you have, and I praise the Lord for it. But we get caught in laziness, in the system of paying someone else. Full-time pastors can be a real curse. Well, we got given him an offering. Now I don't have to do anything. He's supposed to. And if I get up and do it, then he ought to send back the money I gave. These thoughts go in the minds of men that are shirking their responsibility. 4:14, he says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. You have a gift. If you've been born again, you at least have that gift. Does the church know that you've been born again? Does it know that you've been born again? That's why we have open meetings. You should fight for the opportunity.
Amen.
Fight for the opportunity to give your blessing.
Amen.
And just a little advice. Make it short. Make it something that's real to you.
Amen.
Make it living.
Amen.
You do an injustice to the open meeting if you get up and take 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You do an injustice.
Amen.
I never preach in the street more than maybe 7-8 minutes. But for long as I go, if I can't say it that quick, then I got too much to say. I have to work to come here and preach a message because it's just hard to go that long. But some people have got the gift to go, and they've made their point 4 times, it's time to quit. You do an injustice to the younger brother and sisters. You may be the strongest one here spiritually, but you do an injustice and you hurt the younger brother and sister if you rob their time.
Amen.
Read Corinthians 14. It speaks about that. Just a couple that prophesy, that they get up and share and give doctrine and teach, but all prophesy. All have an opportunity. It's the only way we can be blessed from within. The church itself, blessing. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:12. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in the edifying of the church." Are you looking to edify the church? Do you spend Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday till Wednesday night looking for a way that you can edify the church spiritually? Not that you've come up and mowed the grass, not that you've come up and vacuum. Have you spent time with the Lord? Have you sought out His blessing for your life so that you can come and bless the church, edify the church? Seek to do so. Commandment of God, you're in a blessed place. You have been given an opportunity to do so. I grew up where we didn't have it. We finally had to beg for one Sunday night. The young people begged for one Sunday night a month that we could have the service. And we didn't know much better. We did things goofy and crazy. We didn't understand what we were doing at the time. But we should demand that right. Demand that to fulfill a responsibility we have to edify the church. Look in 14:26. "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, that every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying?" How is it that when we come together, that all of us have ears to hear the man who's paid? The man that's got the zeal. 24 of the same chapter says, "But if all prophesy, and there come one of you that believeth not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all." Why doesn't the church grow? Why have we not seen saved ones? When the new ones come to our meetings, do they see all prophesying? Oh, he may hear a couple, and he'll leave saying, "Boy, those guys can really preach." Or, "Man, they bored me to tears," or whatever they might say. But God said that if you all prophesy before that unlearned and that unsaved and that unknowing, he'll leave saying, "Boy,
Amen.
Those people have a touch with the living God."
Amen.
Why are people not saved in your meetings? Why are people not saved in the meetings we have in Mexico or around the world? We don't complete what God promised. Turn back to Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians 3:10. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." It's through the church. It's through the functioning of every little brother and sister fulfilling the responsibility that they have to excel in edifying the church.
Amen.
That we have the wisdom of God. That we have the blessing of God. And when it's done by two or three on a regular basis, then we fall out of the category and receive not the blessing of God.